be acceptable to you this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you, Tino and Rob, for inviting me, putting me through the mill the past few weeks, trying to find out what's the best thing to do. How can I accommodate you? You know, you mature Christians. It's very hard. I don't want to do simple things. I want real deep teaching. Well, it's going to be simple things. And then Rob said, oh, by the way, could you speak about the heart of worship? I went home and I thought, Lord, how do you tackle a subject like this? It's best just to concentrate on one thing, or maybe two things, and work from there. All right. So that's what I intend to do. There might be a diversion. I just don't know what's going to happen, but we'll see. All right. Now, talking about worship and praise and thanksgiving, I am going to mention a football team this morning. Have no fear. But a few weeks back, the Germans came to town. Right? I know, you think of John Cleese, aren't you? No. And Borussia Dortmund came to town with Liverpool. Big match. I saw just highlights of it. Now, before the game happened, they had gigantic banners and flags. Ooh. And they had scarves above their heads with their hands raised. And both teams have the same national anthem. You'll never walk alone. And they were singing with gusto. It was an awesome sight. You know, if you're a football fan, the hairs on your neck stood up. In fact, I spoke to people who'd gone to the game, and they were in there an hour beforehand, expecting a spectacle. But when all this praise and worship broke out, they said, it was like electric. He said, we expected something great to happen. And, you know, that put us to shame, doesn't it? When you analyze what they do, they went expecting. They said, something's going to happen. Shame on us and me. You know, I mean, with you, when I say you, I mean me as well. We don't come with maybe expectancy. Maybe the problem is we're looking for the spectacular so often, and you miss that little nugget that we should have. And you think praise and worship is it. When we get to that place of praising and worshiping, and musicians, before I forget, I must include you in this. Fantastic. I love you all. The way you play, the way you lead us, and people don't know the sacrifices you make week after week. You know, learning how to play your instruments, looking for something maybe even better, looking for even better quality than you have already, if that's possible. But the Lord would have you say this. As you tune your instruments, first of all, tune your heart to Him. And when your heart's tuned to Him, everything else will just flow. Really will. And, you know, what can be more worthy than worship? Well, King Saul went to battle, and he had a great victory. And he came back full of himself, what he had achieved. But things weren't right in the kingdom of God. Because God has told Samuel the prophet, he hasn't done what I've asked him to do. Go down, have a word with him. So Samuel the prophet, he comes to the king. And in 1 Samuel 15, verse 22, he says this. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offering and sacrifices and in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. So at the very beginning of the heart and worship, don't make worship an excuse for a heart that's out of condition. I'll tell you about a heart out of condition for a little minute. When my heart trouble started, I had to go in for an operation. And they explained this was an operation they hadn't done before, only done once before in Britain, and he explained to me why. So he took me to the theatre. I was in there for an hour. And the consultant said, now, I'm going to start doing this now, all right. And I said, if you look to your left, there's a great big screen, and your heart's on it. He said, you can follow the process. I said, no, I don't fancy that at all. Honestly, yeah. He said, no, sit there. We'll make you laugh. He said, would you like some music on while we do the operation? And I said, yes, have you got Willie Nelson? He said, who's he? I thought, this isn't the right place. But, you know, talking about the heart and looking at the heart, I'd like to transfer it. When's the last time you looked at your heart? We're so busy doing things, but God wants us to look at our heart. He says in Scripture, examine yourself to see if you be in the faith. So where do you examine? Up here or in here? And, you know, I've been a Christian 60 years. Now, I want to play a little, you know, the elections are coming soon, aren't they? And they're going to do a poll. I'd like to do a poll from a Christian perspective, all right? Now, I want you to put your hand up right away if it's you, and then put it down again. I won't ask you to come out. It's just a poll. Now, let's define a Christian. Well, first of all, Christianity is not a denomination. Christianity is a relationship. And a Christian, quite easily and simply, is a lover of Christ. If you ask me what's the main thing about a Christian, a lover of Christ. You can't go wrong with that. So I'm going to ask you this, the following. Put your hand up if you've been a Christian no more than 5 years. Put your hand up now. Oh, right. Oh, there was a hand going up. Great. If you have been a Christian for up to, say, 25 years, put your hand up and then down again. 25 years, great, put it down. How about 40 years? Oh, there's still some hands up. Oh, right, how about 50 years? Go on. Oh, not so many now, is there? How about 59 years? Put your hand up. No one? Oh, what? Oh, you can't have this. I've just done the poll. How many years? 71 years. You would have to come today, wouldn't you? Well done. Now, the reason I've done that, I was going over this with the Lord beforehand. And he said, people here need to know that I can be trusted. You know, you might have just been a Christian, or you might even be, dare I say, contemplating becoming a Christian. And you say to yourself, does it work? Will it last? Can you trust God? Or maybe you've been a Christian a short time, and you're thinking, well, can I keep this going for all those years? You've just seen an example of God's grace, goodness, and love, haven't you? Eh? So, obedience is more than just flag waving, singing. It's obedience. Now, this book, I want to see how many will remember. There's a television program where the presenter. I know you're. Yeah, don't jump the gun. And he used this red book in the program. What was it called? Pardon? Very good. See this? This is my life. And I won't start singing. This is my life. And what I intend to do, to show about the heart and obedience, this book contains happenings, incidents, good and bad. It contains testimonies. It contains adventures. Now, that's a good word to use in a Christian walk, isn't it? Adventure. When's the last time we adventured in the Spirit. When is the last time? You haven't got to do it in a meeting. You can do this any time. But when's the last time we adventured in the Spirit? So often we go along with our conveyor belt of answers and principles. But sometimes there are times you can just move out. Adventure in the Spirit. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to start talking about my life. Not every year. Be like the Forsyth saga, won't it? And not the comic one either. I'm just going to pick out two or three instances in my life. To me, are landmarks. You might think, that's not very spectacular. But at that time, it was. All right. Now, I want to go back to... I'm 13, okay? I can remember as clear as a bell. I'm at home with mum and dad and my brother, who was 3 years older. Christian house. And my mum and dad never swore, didn't smoke, had the occasional drink. There was never a wrong word. In fact, you say it was ideal to be brought up in. And I thanked them for that. But then when I was 13, my mother said these words. She said, "Now you're 13," she said. "Your brother Vic got confirmed when he was 13. Now it's your turn to get done." And I said, it's called being obedient. I said, "No way." Honestly, I said, "No way. I'm not going to get done till I know what it's all about." And I didn't. Ooh. Mother had a bit of a glare over the glasses at me, you know what I mean? And so I didn't. And I said, leave it like that. So we did. We still attended church, St. Leonard's, wonderful church. And move on now. I'm 18, all right? I'm in my RAF uniform, serving the country. Quite proud. And it so happened that the padre of the station was having classes for confirmation. Oh. And I went because there wasn't much to do in camp except to go to the pub and have a drink and this, that, and the other. So I decided to go to confirmation classes, and I learnt an awful lot. And therefore, on the you can now find me on the 29th of February, 1956. I'm in a little village church in Kington, Herefordshire, with other young children who are getting confirmed. I'm in my uniform. And when it was my turn, I knelt down before the Bishop of Hereford, and when he lay his hands on my head, I said to the Lord, "If you're real, I'll go along with you." That was my commitment. I didn't say the sinner's prayer of repentance. That wasn't even it. But you know what? It was a cry from the heart. I meant it, right inside. And then things started to change, amazingly. And so I started to read my Bible. I started to pray. I started to go to church. I started to get Christian literature. And I've brought a little precious book along. This is the first book I ever read in those days. It's called The Greatest Things by Arthur S. Wood. Fantastic little book. And it's still with me. So is God. And so that was my introduction, if you like, to giving my heart to the Lord. And I suppose heart is a sort of ambiguous sort of thing. What do we mean by the heart? Well, I've said this before, and many of you will recollect it. My heart, I call my personal laboratory. It's my research center. Now, you know the chorus, "Joy is a flag flown high"? Where's it flown from? The what? Castle of my heart. A castle is a stronghold, isn't it? Bit more about the heart, isn't it? So my laboratory, my research center, my castle, it's a stronghold. Nobody gets in there. Nobody can get near me because I'm in charge of my castle, my heart. I can allow things to come in, but basically, no one knows my heart. You don't know my heart. You don't know my heart. Even my dear wife, Mary, knows it to a degree. But God knows my heart. And that's a wonderful thing to know. You could be frightened that God knows your heart. But you know what? Isn't it great that he who rules the world, who created everything, knows your heart. He knows what you think. What is the heart? I'll tell you a little story. I had a motorbike, a little Honda motorbike, and I had a big sticker on the front. You know, one of those yellow-green faces, smiling. Another one was Jesus Saves. And every time I went through the pierhead to work and back again, I was made up when there's a traffic jam. They could all see the sticker. They can't escape it. They're all watching the sticker. And I parked the bike once at His Word Bookshop in Stanley Road. And Bill and Val were involved in that. And I was in the shop. And one of the men from the fellowship came in. Now, some of you might remember this gentleman. John Burgess. Yeah? Now, John was a chirpy sort of character. I think he was an insurance salesman, so he could really give it that. And as I walked in, he said to me, "See the state of your bike out there?" I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Your bike is a disgrace. It's dirty. There's muck clinging to it. You need to wash it down and polish it." I says, John, I said, "There's a verse that covers all that." "All right, smart aleck," he says. "What's the verse?" I said, "Well, it's paraphrased. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the engine. The heart of the vehicle. It's there that that vehicle is able to move because of the engine." It's the same in our hearts. What we decide in here gives us motivation. Also, did you know that in during the Atlantic battle, in Liverpool, and still there, it's like a museum now, but by, I think it's exchange flags, they have a bunker in the ground. And in that bunker during the war was the heart of the operation. Information would come in. It would be analyzed, like my research center, looked upon. Then it was acted upon. You see, it's the heart of the operation. So the heart is my operation center. And I'm up to there now, right. And I'm going to read you a few scriptures about the heart. All right. They're not on there, so don't worry. Now, if this is you, don't tell me. Just tell God. All right. This could be your condition. In Proverbs 15, in verse 13, it says this: "A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but a sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken." Now, I stopped at that. I just want to say something. I don't offend, but it's a word of advice. We've had a lot of sorrow in this fellowship of late. And it's right to grieve and to cry and be upset. But be careful, because if it becomes obsessive and prolonged, it says the spirit is broken. All right? And then it says, "The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of the fools feedeth on foolishness. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart has a continual feast." Proverbs 17, verse 22, "A merry heart doeth good like medicine." Wow. Proverbs 4, verse 23. Now, here's a word of warning. Okay, talking about the castle. Guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. guard your heart, for the issues of life come out of it. Proverbs 23, verse 7. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. If you think you'll never be successful, you'll never be successful. If you think you're wonderful like me, you'll be wonderful like me. And last of all, Matthew 12, verse 34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, have you ever met someone who's really in love for the first time? And say, how are things? Oh, fantastic. She's absolutely wonderful. I worship the ground she treads on. Oh, you see, it's coming out of his mouth because that's what's in his heart. Right? He's made up. And, of course, it's likewise. Can I just say, you can be talking to somebody, and if you have ears to hear, don't try and come from a psychologist's worth, but just listen to what, listen sometimes. We're so busy waiting for them to stop talking, and you get in what you want to say. Just for once, stand still and listen. Because when you hear people speak, sometimes you can determine what's the problem. All right? And you might have the answer. So it's good to listen to people instead of trying to get our own way. And it's interesting. All those hard scriptures. If you've got a concordance, just go through the word heart. It says all sorts. Anyway, I'm now a believer in an RAF uniform. And I've been stationed in Shoreby, which is near Shrewsbury, which meant I could come home every weekend. Every weekend I would come home, go back, go home, come back. And one Sunday, I had to go up to the Sunday school to meet somebody after Sunday school. And the vicar there called John Mockford, many of you know him. And he met me outside, said, oh, come with me, come with me. And I followed him, because he was the authority of the church, and I followed him. And he brought me into the Sunday school. And there in the front row were a bunch of lads. And I looked, and he said to them, now, boys, this is Mr. Nelson. He's in the Air Force. Well, my chest went out. And they looked at me. They must have thought I was Superman. And he said to them, and this is your new Sunday school teacher. Well, afterwards I said, well, what are you playing at? He said, you're quite capable of being a Sunday school teacher, aren't you? I said, I'm in the forces. He said, you come home every weekend. You do nothing in camp. So take the scriptures, take your school book, and make two visual aids, and I'll see you here next Sunday. And I was coerced into being a Sunday school teacher. Oh. You know what? I was 1 week ahead of the kids. I had prior knowledge. I had a week to study before I got to them. From there, I progressed. Sunday school superintendent. Moo. I was even in the choir. That's why Bill asked me to come to the New City Skiffle. Anyway, and then I was involved in missionary work. I became a youth club leader. Oh, I was a steward. Whew. If I was a scout, I'd have that many badges, my arm wouldn't be able to be lifted. And I gained being on the PCC. That's the highest. I was in the parochial church council. How many others have been on the PCC? Come on. Oh. And so I progressed. All right. I've lost my place now. Could we have Psalm 100 up on the screen, please? And so that was the start of my service for the Lord. Now, don't put your hands up for this one, but I just want to ask you, in what capacity do you serve in this body? What capacity do you serve in this body? And this is what it says about service. Lost my place again. Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. This tells you how to serve. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing, not with murmuring or moaning or poor you. It says, come with singing. Don't you know that the Lord, he is God? It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless the Lord. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. Just a word to those who serve. It's so easy to get weary. Why is it the ones who serve, say the 10%, are doing it for the 90%? It can get tiresome, you get weary. Your service is not unto man, it is unto the Lord. So if you're putting the chairs out, if you're cleaning, if you're playing, if you're stewarding, no matter what it is, imagine Jesus standing here watching you. You do it as unto the Lord. And then while I was lying, I get all these thoughts when I'm lying in bed about 3 o'clock in the morning. And the Lord gave me a little few words about praise. Now, I suppose I might boast. I think this is straight from the throne room, okay? It's copyright, but you're allowed to use it wherever you go. You might have heard it before. Forgive me. And this is what I got. Praise is the light. No, praise is the flint that lights the fire. Praise is the flint that lights the fire. And it's interesting. We don't know what we do when we start praising out of a heart that's in tune with the Lord. Oh, look, I could be nuts up all that time. Right. I just want to move along to another episode of my life. This might be the last one, I think, because of time. Right. I'd come to Kingsway. That's another adventure. We're going to all put that. Come to Kingsway is an adventure. The only downside of coming to Kingsway, I must say. Sorry about this, Gwyn. The reason why it's called Kingsway, it was Gwyn and David's house in Kingsway. So we call it Kingsway. And the meetings, you had to get there early to get a seat. I got there early to get a seat. I'm in the armchair, and they all start piling in. And then someone sits on this arm of the armchair, someone sits on that arm of the armchair, and I'm like this. So that's the only, you know. But the fellowship grew, and many, many adventures we could write about Kingsway. And I hope we can still do it. And we got too big for Kingsway. And so Mary and I, we bought a big house in College Road. That's another adventure. And it was a 24/7 scenario. Some people lived with us, and we had meetings. It was unbelievable. Oh, it was. Looking back, I think, we weren't even insured. People's liability. Thank you, Lord. Well, on one occasion, the boiler started to play up. And I thought, we need a new boiler. And I thought, this is terrible. And once I start to think like that, and then it drops into my castle, and I said, oh, what am I going to do? Fancy bringing my family into this situation. I've got no money for the boiler. I'm going to look a right fool if we have to leave and go back to our other house. This is terrible. And I went down the stairs of despondency, down and down and down. The more I listened to the negative, boom, the enemy's good. Here's another one. Here's another one. And you go down and down and down. And I said to my man, I'm going upstairs. I went upstairs and I cried my heart out. Just burst into tears. I didn't have an answer. And I sobbed. Could you say to the men, there's no harm in having a good sob. All right, good release. And in the middle of all this sobbing, a little voice came to me and said, speak in tongues. I went, go on, speak in tongues. And so I started to speak in tongues with gritted teeth. And gradually the crying stopped. And suddenly there was like a praise coming out of me. Now, in the natural, nothing's changed. But I have. See? This is obedience. Little voice, do you listen to it? Do you obey it? This is worship in a sense. And I just praise the Lord. Just thank the Lord. Now what had happened is, beforehand, my spirit was down here and my body was up here in charge. But gradually, they swapped places and my spirit became the order of the day. My spirit, I started to praise God and thank God for all he's done for me. And I came down the stairs to Mary and said, don't worry, everything's okay. Now that's a leap of faith, isn't it? Everything's okay. You know what? In a week, three people from different parts of the world sent us checks, and the total amount came to the cost of the boiler. Right? It's just wonderful what God can do. Can I just say something? When it goes up here and you think about it, it doesn't seem to work out. You think, oh, I could do it this, I could do it that. But when there's a heart cry, God hears the cry of the heart. Ray said last week, didn't he, about that patient who just said, oh, God, help me. It's just a cry of the heart. And God looks into your castle, into your laboratory, into your research center. I've heard you. And here's a scripture we need to look at. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7, okay, for the screen. Right. And verses 4 to 7. Right. Rejoice in the Lord always. And I repeat it. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. Why? Because the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And here's the reward. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Shall keep your hearts. The Amplified says the word keep is garrison or mount guard. That's what peace can do. When the peace of God comes into your life, how many of you know the peace of God comes into your life or into a situation up here? It doesn't make sense because it bypasses the understanding. It goes right through to your research center. Now, here's the problem. You've got the keys. Are you going to let it in? Are you going to let that thought come into your Holy of Holies? Are you going to let the King of Glory reside in your research laboratory? It doesn't matter what condition you find yourself in this morning. We need to concentrate on our hearts. Maybe you think, well, you might have a broken heart. You might have a cold heart. You might have a happy heart. You know what sort of heart you've got. Too often we spend up here. We do our Christian walk and our Christian connections from up here instead of within. What do you really want? I just want to play a DVD now for a few minutes, what I'd like you to do, just keep still, listen, and allow this song to speak into your innermost being. Open the door and let him come in.
Oh, my brother, I know you're out there with all your burdens and heavy loads. You've been traveling down this highway for so long. For so long, oh my sister, I know you're crying 'cause you feel lost down in your soul where you're empty. Jesus can feel you. All that he asks is you come home. Come on and meet me down by the river. Let's dive in like children do, and let our trust wash to the Father. He'll wash you clean and he'll make you new. Father, mother, son and daughters, we're all so for that peace that can fill us and then reveal to us the sweet forgiveness that we all need. So come on and meet me down by that river. Let's dive in like little children do, and we'll let our troubles wash to the Father. He'll wash us clean and he'll make us new. The blood that flowed from Calvary is in the river still. His cleansing blood will wash and clean you if you only will. So come on and meet me down by that river. Let's dive in like little children. And we'll let our troubles wash to the Father. He'll wash us clean and he'll make us new. He'll wash you.
Let's just pray. Father, I personally thank you for taking care of me and helping me and those who have been upholding me. Lord, as we just heard in the song, if you will. I want to pray for my brethren right now where they're sitting. I just want to ask a question in the Spirit. Will you unlock your door today? Allow the Spirit of God to come into your center, into your research center, into your castle. Lord, as I pray right now, Holy Spirit, I pray in Jesus' name, come. Come into our midst. Let no one miss out this morning, Lord. Minister to their every need. But Lord, let your love flood. Let your love flood our hearts. That, Lord, when we leave here, we will surely say, didn't our hearts burn within us while Jesus was with us in the way? So I pray a blessing on all those. For those who are struggling, Lord, I pray, come quickly and keep with them. For those who have a future and wonder how it's going to work out, Lord, I pray, go before and make a way where there is no way. And for us all, Lord, I pray, allow your love, your joy, and your presence to be our portion this day and forever. Amen.